Welcome back to Throw the Flag, Coach podcast. Coach Jerry here. Glad to join you. We got the NFL draft coming up. Missing the NFL season, but the draft is awesome. Hope springs eternal for every team in the NFL. Well, almost every team, but definitely more than most sports. And so that's pretty exciting. And for all of you out there who are itching to see what your team is going to do, the best part about the NFL is you can change it around in one season. Let's remember the Houston Texans. Total dumpster fire a couple of years ago. They had a whole bunch of draft picks, but they still had nothing going into last year. And the big question was, are they going to take a quarterback? Are they going to, you know, fall back into the draft and grab a bunch of stuff because they had so many needs? They had fired their coach. They had a brand new coach. What are they going to do? Well, look at what Houston did in one year. They got the offensive rookie of the year, the defensive rookie of the year. They won the division. They won a playoff round, and they took the number one seed into the second half. Amazing. And they still have draft capital. Thank you, Cleveland Browns. And so they're a young team. They got more draft picks. And then look at what they've done in the offseason. They've brought in some talent. They've surrounded the young kid. They're solid. Coach of the year. So look out. And that's in one year. Dumpster fire to now potentially a contender over the next 2 to 5 years, 2 to 4 years as a Super Bowl contender, not for the division, but for the Super Bowl. That's how quickly things can change in the NFL. And so, and that's one of the beauty parts of the NFL is that your team doesn't have to be stuck for 10, 20 years in the dumpster. So kudos to Houston, and we'll have to see who the next team is. That's going to be the 2024, you know, who saw that coming type of team. Now, I have to say, the Chicago Bears have been a wasteland when it comes to quarterbacks for the last, I don't know, 80 years since Sid Luckman. But this year, they got the first overall pick. They've actually done the right things in the offseason, putting together weapons. They've shored up a lot of their needs in free agency. And now they have the first pick overall and the ninth pick overall. So the Bears could actually surprise some people. Maybe they could be the Houston Texans team of 2024, although I think people will see them coming. It's amazing because the Bears' offense was awful, and the way they treated Justin Fields and how they wrecked his development, they were terrible. And yet it looks like their trade last year, that Carolina gave them the first overall pick, and they've got Caleb Williams, who could be a generational quarterback. We've been talking about him for the last couple of years. He won the Heisman. He's been the face of college football. He was in a big market in Los Angeles with the University of Southern California. So he can handle the media market in Chicago. And if he plays to even half of what CJ Stroud did last year, I'm telling everybody right now, the Bears are going to be in the playoffs next year. Yes, they're still rebuilding. Look out in a couple of years' time. But even as early as next year, I think they're going to sneak in and get one of those last wild cards. That's how much I'm on the Bears going into next year. So even though they have the first overall pick and the ninth overall pick, they've actually done a really good job of assembling talent. And if they get Caleb Williams and they get an explosive receiver at nine, look out. They have done everything properly. As long as they don't have any major injuries, the Bears will be there at the end, which shocks me because they were so bad last year and the year before. So that's sort of my one of my first takes on the NFL draft coming up. Got the Washington Commanders, who people are still speculating. They say they know who they want, but the way they've been inviting people through the building, it makes you wonder because they're in the second spot. And if the Bears have Caleb Williams, everybody thought, okay, they'll probably land a quarterback and they know who they want. And yet there seemed to be a lot of confusion on the outside because they were bringing in all kinds of players and it didn't look like they really knew what they wanted to do. Personally, I don't trust the Washington franchise. They have brand new ownership, which could be good. But their coaching staff doesn't excite me. Dan Quinn's okay. He did a decent job in Atlanta, but they already had Matt Ryan, a franchise quarterback. You know, he worked well with the defense. He got them to that Super Bowl lead of 28-3 and then collapsed. Made the Cowboys defense better, but again, in the end, couldn't get them further. So I'm not really sold on Washington. I think they're in the second spot, and because this is supposed to be a deep franchise quarterback draft, maybe as high as 6 quarterbacks, they're saying that could make it eventually. If you're the second pick, then that means there's got to be a couple of guys there that you can get, and that's the hardest position to get in football. But they have a lot of roster holes. They were awful last year. the way they treated Ron Rivera, the way they've managed that situation, I'm just not impressed so far. So let's see what they do. Because if they trade back, I think they could benefit from more draft picks. But when you're top three, and I think Drake May is going to be amazing. He reminds me of Herbert in Los Angeles with the Chargers, and he just needs some time to develop. I think when all is said and done 5 years from now, I think Drake May is going to be the best quarterback out of this draft. But you know, I think there'll be probably three guys that'll probably separate themselves and show themselves as legit franchise quarterbacks. And the other guys, I'm just not convinced, especially JJ McCarthy from Michigan. He might have the tools, but he didn't do much. You watch his game film, and he wasn't put in positions where I would say, yes, I want to hand the keys over to my franchise to this guy. I'm just not convinced. Maybe he becomes that franchise quarterback, but I don't think he showed enough. But he's zooming up everybody's draft board. You know, so hey, take a shot, because franchise quarterbacks are so hard to get. And, you know, look at Mahomes. The Chiefs went up from 27 to 10. They traded a bunch to go up to and get Mahomes, and Mahomes wasn't ready, and he sat for the first year. And now look, he's going to be one of the greatest of all time. And the Chiefs are competitive and contending every year. So you got to go get the franchise quarterback if you can find him. Interesting thing though, at third, there's a lot of rumblings out of New England that they're willing to trade the pick. And I think that's smart, because Belichick didn't leave that roster in very good shape, and they need to rebuild. Again, that said, I have a hard time believing that you can't find your franchise quarterback at the third spot, and you don't want to be in the top three again. But if you can get a haul, then get the haul and get and plug in, because it's 53 guys that you got to find to become a Super Bowl contender. But that franchise quarterback, boy, if he's there and you have a shot, go get him, because you don't know if you'll get a chance again. So let's see what happens. I think that's where the intrigue starts, at pick three and pick four, because Arizona, even though I'm not a believer in Kyler Murray, Arizona has committed so much to their franchise quarterback. They're not in the market for a quarterback. They need a legitimate weapon. And at four, as many people are talking about, there are four quarterbacks that teams are hot and heavy to go up and get. And so that could be really good for Arizona, because if they can get a couple of teams bidding for their number four slot to get that last quarterback, maybe Arizona picks up a bunch, or maybe they end up fleecing a team who's desperate to get up there. Vikings have been rumored a lot, but there's other teams as well that could be jumping up to get that last of the four quarterbacks. So let's see what happens with Arizona. I think if they're smart, if they could trade back even a couple of spaces with, say, like the New York Giants, for instance, who might jump up to get a quarterback, that would be amazing, because they could still – they need an elite receiver. And it seems like three receivers are considered far and far above the rest. And the top two by far are neighbors and Marvin Harrison Jr. And so if they could trade back a couple, pick up an extra pick, and get an elite receiver, you know, that could be the best way to go for Arizona. But they need weapons down in the desert to get that offense going. Jim Harbaugh, you could see them being a player to trade down, because they have their franchise quarterback, and they need some depth, and they have salary cap issues. So getting a couple of picks and dropping back a bit wouldn't hurt them at all, because they could fill in a few holes. So let's see what the Chargers do. I have no respect for the Giants, as many of you, if you've listened to any of the podcasts before, because I think they really screwed things up with Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. And so they deserve to be as bad as they are. And they lost Barkley. Daniel Jones, they're still committed to him for one more year. So if they don't trade up, they're not getting one of the four quarterbacks. And then they're stuck in Daniel Jones land for another year, which means they're going to be, again, top five in the draft next year. So I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to go after a quarterback. They need some weapons as well. But I think they're kind of in the middle of no man's land. If they don't trade up, they're going to miss out on the quarterbacks, and then they're going to be stuck. So we'll see what the Giants do at six. Tennessee can go a lot of places. I think with their young staff, they brought some weapons. And Will Levis looks like the deal. They just got to properly develop him. So that puts Tennessee in a good spot to just see all the people taking quarterbacks, and they can take the best lineman. They can take probably the second or third best receiver. They can take the best defensive player on the board. Like, they are in so many, they have so many options at seven. So it'll be interesting to see what Tennessee ends up going for. The Falcons make the big splash in free agency with Kirk Cousins. So because they have that and they've got young weapons on the offense, it seems like they could go and get the best defensive player, the outside linebacker from Alabama, Turner. He's supposed to have elite pass rushing skills, and the Falcons need that, and they need to shore up that defense. So they seem to be in a good place to go after a defender. Rounding out at 9 and 10 for the top 10, again, the Bears are in a good situation. I think if they look to trade down, they can even add a couple of picks. But they still need to keep adding to that offensive line and to their receiving core. And there could be a couple of studs there at 9. And then it's funny to see the Jets, because everybody, again, is banking on Rodgers. They've made some good moves in the offseason. It still comes down to, can they protect Aaron Rodgers? Though there will be some offensive linemen available here that can help, which is how I think they should go. I'm really hoping they go off the board and get something else and get distracted again. Because their season, again, is over if Aaron Rodgers isn't upright. So if it's me, I'm picking the best lineman that's available. Picking a guard or a tackle, you can't have enough of them. You've got this old quarterback coming off of an Achilles injury for the season. So that's where I would go. But some draft boards have them going after Brock Bowers. He's an amazing tight end. He's an amazing weapon in the middle of the field. I think he's going to be a great player. But for where the Jets are, I think it would be a mistake. But we'll see what happens. I think Bowers, if he ends up at the right team, he could be a candidate for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think he's that good. I think he's underrated. Even though he was with Georgia, he won a couple of championships, I still think as an offensive weapon, he's underrated. If he gets the right coach, they could really do some things with him in his first year. The Vikings are at 11. We'll see if they go up. They have enough ammunition because they have the 23rd pick, so they can go up and trade up into the third or fourth spot to get a quarterback, or even the fifth spot, depending on how the board goes. So we'll see if the Vikings are still there, but they're desperate for a franchise quarterback after losing Cousins. And we saw what happened the rest of their season. Their season went off the rails when they couldn't keep somebody upright in Minnesota. And I got to say, with the Denver Broncos, and this is where I'm going to end the list, is they're at 12. They're in no man's land. They have no draft capital. Sean Payton has screwed this thing up. The ownership has screwed this thing up. I don't know how their GM hasn't been fired yet. He must have some pictures of the ownership or of the president, because I don't understand how he still has a job. He has wrecked that situation the last 2 years. And for the first time, I can say probably in a dozen years, no, even longer, probably about 14, 15 years, I don't have any hope in the Mile High City. And that's saying something. Usually I can find a few threads where you're like, oh, if this falls right and that falls right and it's the NFL, this is the first time in probably 15 years that I have no hope going into 2024. I hope they confound expectations, but it's going to be a sad season watching these Broncos play. And some people have even projected that the Broncos could end up being the worst team in the NFL and end up with the number one pick next year. I can't even imagine, but we'll see. That's the heart of a fan. And, you know, you go through the ups and downs, but they have screwed this up. And when you mess up the franchise quarterback spot, you could be in the valley for 5 to 10 years, depending on, you know, how things shake out. They've royally screwed this up, and I don't know if they can get back out in at least 2-3 years. I don't even know what to say. I mean, even the Raiders have a better situation than the Broncos, and that hurts me deeply. So in terms of the rest of the NFL draft, I think, you know, there's some excitement in that we had a lot of good teams last year. We had a lot of parity last year. I think because we had a lot of injuries to franchise quarterbacks, you had some crazy outcomes. We had teams that were in it right up until week 17, week 18. So I think a lot of teams think they're closer. So it'll be interesting to see if they draft for development. You know, do they want these guys to be studs for the next, you know, 8 to 10 years, but it'll take them 2-3 years? Or are they looking for like instant success, guys that they can plug in because they think they have a shot in 24? It'll be interesting to see, because I think there'll be more teams that are going to reach because they think they're closer than they really are. I'm all over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think if they don't screw this up, their quarterback room is awesome. They start Russell Wilson, and they bring along the kid from Chicago. Why am I blanking on his name? Anyways, you guys know who I'm talking about. The Bears ruined him, and he's coming on a rookie deal. They bring him up. He is so talented, and I think that with that quarterback room, not only can the Steelers win that division, which I still think is the best division in football. Look out for the NFC North, but I think the AFC North is the best division in football. The Steelers are right there. Their quarterback play was horrible, and they somehow came up with 10 wins and made the playoffs. With that defense and still playing that divisional schedule, they actually have a heavy running game, a better offensive line, and a coach who actually can coordinate and call the proper plays for two competent quarterbacks, I'm telling you, look out for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think, again, as long as the quarterback room's healthy, they don't overthink this. I think the Steelers are going to win the AFC North. It doesn't matter how good the rest of the division is. I think they're that good. But let's see. Let's see how that plays out. I think Dallas is a dumpster fire, and what they've done with Dak Prescott and the cap issues that they have, and they haven't really added anything. They're picking 24th overall. So if they nail the pick, okay, great. They can add something to their team, but they're in trouble. That offensive line's getting old, and Dak is on a one-year deal, eating up all that cap space. They don't have a lot of weapons, and you saw how limited they were when the Packers smacked them in the mouth in the wildcard round. So I don't know what to think about the Cowboys. I think they're on their way down, and if Dak walks, I think that's going to be epic for Dallas. I think that's going to make them even worse for the next 3 to 5 years. Like I said with the NFC North, look out for the Packers. They're definitely trending up. I didn't understand their Aaron Jones for Josh Jacobs, but they're loaded. They're young. They have extra draft capital. Watch out for the Packers. I think they're just a half a step below the Lions. I love the Lions, but the Packers are coming strong. And so the Lions have to keep building, have to keep adding depth, especially in their secondary. But they're there. And so the Lions and the Packers are going to be great. I think the Bears are going to surprise a ton of people. And then the Vikings, they had a good defense last year. They've got two amazing weapons on offense. They need a quarterback. And so that's the question. If they get one of the legit, you know, top end franchise quarterbacks in the top three, top four picks, and they can transition him fairly quickly, the Vikings could be there too. So the NFC North is pretty stocked. The NFC in general is the weaker conference, but the NFC North is looking pretty good. And so that could be a lot of great heavyweight, you know, battles between those four teams. And I feel bad for Detroit because they're finally good, but they're now good in a really good division. So it's not going to be easy winning that division. So that should be a lot of fun to watch. And I guess the last thing I want to say on this quick podcast before the draft is, do the Kansas City Chiefs have a legitimate shot at a three-peat? Absolutely. They have all the pieces. They only lost one guy in Snead in terms of a really good corner that they had to trade, but that's it. All their young guys are coming back. They got number 15, and they still have pretty much all of their draft capital. So depending on how they build this in the draft, Kansas City is going to be there. San Francisco hasn't, you know, they got to figure out Brandon Ayuk, but they'll be there as a contender as well. And so look out for those two teams being contenders next year again. But the one thing I want to say to the people of Western New York, I feel bad for you. I think for the Buffalo Bills, their window's done. I love Josh Allen, but they're now in trouble, and they had a window to win. They just needed to close Kansas City out, 13 seconds left, and they're going probably to the Super Bowl in that year. And now since then, they've lost guys. They have no cap space. They're in a tough AFC East. They're in a tough AFC conference. And I think Buffalo is going to regress next year. And I can't see Buffalo getting anywhere near past the wildcard round if they make the playoffs. That's how strong the AFC is. And I feel bad for Josh Allen. I'm a huge fan of his, but I think Buffalo is going to take a step back. I think the Stephon Diggs thing is probably good that they got rid of him because he was a distraction. And look at what happened. Devo wide receiver complains and works his way out to Houston. So I think that's actually a benefit, but he's not the only, they've lost players. They're safeties. They had the best pair of safeties in the NFL and they lost them both. You know, they had a deep, you know, secondary, but their secondary isn't as strong and they've lost pass rushers. They're getting older. Their offensive line's getting more shaky. And they have no wide receivers. I mean, that's not true. They have Shakir, but their top two guys, they don't have. And so we'll have to see what they do in the draft, but picking 28th in the first round doesn't help. It's a deep draft for wide receivers. It is a deep draft for linemen. I'm just not sold that Buffalo's going to do enough in the draft to get back to contending status. So that's how Coach sees the upcoming 2024 NFL draft. Have fun. Throw it on in the background. You know, let's see what trades kind of happen. And hopefully your team picks the guy or guys that you're wanting. And we'll be back with you. We're going to do a couple of podcasts every month during the offseason before we get into the 2024 NFL season. So thanks for listening. Have a great time with the draft. And we'll talk soon. And don't forget, throw the flag, Coach!